You're listening to Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
It's time for a bonus-ode. Right, Travy? Does this count, Producer Trav, as a bonus-ode?
It does.
Beautiful. Eddie Pascal and Producer Trav here, back in the Beat Laboratory at 1220 Harbor Bay Parkway after a cross-country trip from Indianapolis and the 2020 NFL Scouting Combine. It's over. The benches have been pressed. The 40s have been run. The interviews have been completed. Everything fiend. But we had so much stuff going on last week in Indy, we couldn't get to it all. We couldn't schedule it out in a way that made sense. Hence, the bonus-ode. So, on this bonus-ode, which is a strong, strong bonus-ode, we've had a handful of these now, but this one, this might be the best. We welcome in the Hall of Famer in just a little bit. One of the best quarterbacks to play in recent memory. A man who has done it all, who has seen it all, and you currently see him as an NFL Network analyst these days. Kurt Warner joins us in just a few minutes. Blessings to Kurt. Following Kurt, we're not done yet, baby. The NFL Network flavor continues as we welcome in one of our good friends, a definite friend of the program, hashtag friend of the program, MJ Acosta, who, I'll just say this, we get into all things Raiders, life, but we also get into how she might, at this point, be more famous than DJ Khaled. So stick around for that. As I said, a great bonus-ode, but the reason for this bonus-ode, as I also mentioned, is that the 2020 Combine is complete. So for those of you who have been living under a rock for the past 7 to 10 days, the Combine officially went. It ran its course. And I think that for us, the most entertaining thing about the Combine, in addition to the interviews, in addition to hearing from Coach and Mayock, and you guys heard all that, it's the top performers, right? Like, let's be honest. We want to see who ran the fastest 40, who benched the most, whose three-cone drill was the quickest. So let's just get into it. Let us start at the top with your 40. And everyone loves the 40. Is the 40 a great indicator of how you're going to be as a pro? Maybe not. Is it a lot of fun to watch in time? Oh, yeah, brother. So congratulations to Henry Ruggs III, wide receiver from Alabama, who ran the fastest 40 at this combine, the 2020 combine, 4.27 seconds. Flying. Travy, are you going to break 6 seconds if you run the 40?
Probably not.
No.
I don't know. We might have to do it just to see.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, we probably should have done this ahead of time, but yeah, definitely.
For maybe the combine preview episode.
That would have been a good one. All right. So as I said, he wins the 40. The great, and I'm going to butcher his name, so I apologize in advance, Mr. Natane Muti from Fresno State. He was the top performer in the bench. He got up 225, an impressive 44 times. Moving on to the vertical jump, Donovan Peoples-Jones out of Michigan, 44 and a half inches, just a smidge off the 45 inches set in 2015. Carrying on, we move on to the broad jump. The broad jump also belonged to Mr. Peoples-Jones, 11 feet, 7 inches. That seems like a lot. Also, quick aside before we get into the last couple, what are you broad jumping for in the NFL? Like, I get the 40, you know what I mean? I get the 40, I get benching. I guess I understand all the agility stuff. But when are you ever going to broad jump in a game? Yeah, likely never. So, moving on. Three-cone drill. I know KMM is a big fan of this one, especially for the big fellas. Denzel Mims is your fastest three-cone drill out of Baylor, 6.66 seconds. That is eerie and looks weird in writing, 6.66. Moving on, the 20-yard shuttle, the great John Reed of Penn State, shout out BDZ, friend of the program, 3.97 seconds for Mr. Reed. That's it. That's your top performers. Like I said, man, does any of this mean anything? I don't know. I mean, let's not forget that, what was it, 3 years ago, Raiders legend Obi Melifonwu blew the gates off the scouting combine in Indy. It was absolutely the talk of the town. And, well, we all kind of know how that story ended. So I think it's important is it cool to see the guys who run the fastest 40s? I mean, in all honesty, that's what it has become, right? Who can run the fastest 40? Who looks the best, you know, doing the throws, catching passes, all that stuff. But let's take everything with a grain of salt. As Mayock told us, he goes, really, at this point in the evaluation season, it's all cross-checks, right? You think this guy's going to run in the 4.4s, he runs in the 4.4s. You think he's going to bench 22 times, he gets 24, that's great. It's all just cross-checking, guys. Cross-checking to make sure they're where they need to be. And as I said, the main thing, the main importance of the combine, interviews and medical. Throw everything else out, as I said, it's a cross-check, but still an important one. But it's all about the interviews, getting to know these guys, getting to know who you want to get another crack at, who you want to meet again. It kind of reminds me of speed dating a little bit, doesn't it, Travi? You know, you meet this wonderful person, and you're like, oh, so this person's kind of great. I'd like to see him again. Or you meet this person, you spend 25 minutes with them, and they ain't the one. They are not the one. Thanks for playing. We will see you hopefully never. So that's kind of where we're at in the process. And I know we like the numbers. We get excited by the numbers. It's hard not to. You get inundated by NFL Network and the mothership and all those other types of places with them. But take them with a grain of salt. Simply relax and remember what's important. The tape doesn't lie, and the interviews are the most important. So, a man you should listen to, though, much more than Trav and I, Kurt Warner. The man's a Hall of Famer, has had one of the most incredible journeys, careers in the history of this fine game, and is now an NFL Network analyst on, well, obviously NFL Network, focusing on quarterbacks and really everything. Kurt is an incredibly well-spoken fellow, a guy who, we talk about this as our barometer for a good interview. Did we learn something? Did we leave the session knowing something we did not know? And the answer to the Kurt Warner one is 100% absolutely heck yeah, brother. So let's bring him in live. Well, I guess technically got live. It was live at the time. So is pseudo live the term, Travis, that we want?
Previously recorded? Maybe?
Previously recorded. Previously recorded. I like pseudo live
okay,
better.
Yeah. Sounds
pseudo live. Our man, Kurt Warner, live from Indianapolis. Let's start here. There's been so much talk this week, really throughout the entire draft process, about the depth of wide receiver in this class.
Right.
And I'm curious, from your point of view as a quarterback, when you were looking at young guys, when you were playing, what traits did you want in a wide receiver coming out?
Man, I wanted all the traits. I wanted them to be able to do everything. But, you know, what I learned in my course of my NFL career was that different guys can be great in different ways. You know, I had guys in St. Louis like Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt that were so much about route running and quickness in and out of breaks that, you know, remember when I was playing with them, it was like, oh, space meant open, right? If I saw space in between the DB and the receiver, okay, that was open. Then I go to Arizona and I'm playing with guys like Anquan Boldin and Larry Fitzgerald who aren't burners, that don't run away from people. And it took me time to realize, oh, they're just as open. But their open is based on positioning, their ability to catch the football, the size and strength that they had. And so so I've played with a lot of different great players that play the game differently. And so I don't necessarily, when I look at these guys, say, oh, I have to have this or I have to have that. I think it's a bottom line of figuring out what it is they do well and can it complement what we already have. Because I'm a big believer in having complementary football. You know, you want the guy – that could take the top off the defense, right? So then I can have another guy like a Larry Fitzgerald or someone that may not have the top end speed, but if I give him space to work the middle of the field, nobody's ever going to stop us. So it's always about what does my offense look like? What are the pieces I have right now? And then which of these guys fit in? Because I say I want everything. Very few of these guys have everything to bring to the table. You know, very many Julio Joneses that come across your table. So now it's a lot of good players. What exactly am I looking for to fit into what we're trying to do?
You know, and looking at the 2020 Las Vegas Raiders, which still sound, we're still getting used to saying
right.
that. But
right.
You look at this offense in particular, and Coach Gruden's talked about it, Mike Mayock's talked about it. There's still that lack, in some senses, for that prototypical wide receiver one, that top-end
yep.
guy. In your experience, can a rookie step in day one and be that kind of player? Or is that something that you kind of have to grow and mature into as your career progresses?
Yeah, I think it's very hard to come into a situation and – be the guy, you know, be a guy that the quarterback has to count on and go, hey, you got to win in every situation. That's really difficult. I mean, I think a great example was last year with Deebo Samuel. in San Francisco, that early in the year they were asking him to try to be that guy. And they weren't the same team earlier. And then they brought Emmanuel Sanders over. And Emmanuel Sanders was kind of able to take that and go, okay, Emmanuel, now you're going to be our go-to guy, and we're going to build things around you. And now we can use Debo with his strengths. And you saw him become, you know, a screen guy, a jet sweep guy, a reverse guy, and then play in the pass game. But he was able to kind of grow into the position of being a go-to guy. And so, once again, I think the guys that you would expect to come in as a rookie and be that guy are rare. I don't think you go into a draft and go, oh, I'm expecting this guy to be that guy. You hope he can become that guy, but yeah, it's very hard, just like a quarterback, to bring a quarterback in as a rookie and go, here's the ball, go win games for us with your right arm. It just doesn't happen very often for young guys. It's more of a progression, so you hope you have some other pieces around them can take the pressure off of them early.
You know, so much of what happens this week, obviously the on-field stuff coming up later this evening, where people can see you on NFL Network breaking all that down. But it's a lot of the conversations, a lot of the rumor mill. It's a lot of, oh, where's this guy going to end up? Is he going to be here? Is he not going to be there? As a player, as a guy who's gone through it, who's seen everything in this league, is it kind of hard as a player to tune that out, especially at this time of the year?
Yeah, I think it's always hard to tune it out because, you know, what you realize, the bigger this has gotten and – the more media that's out there, that usually where there's smoke, there's fire, right? I mean, there's usually when you hear something in this day and age, you don't find very many things that are just so off the wall that people are going, there's absolutely no truth to that. There always seems to be a little truth in everything. And so the more access we have, the more people talking about it, the more we hear rumors. Yeah, it's, you know, people say all the time, I don't listen to that stuff. I don't pay attention. I don't turn. That's all lies. You can't get away from it. In this day and age, you have to hear it. And, yeah, as a player, we're all human, right? We all have egos. When somebody's talking about my job and that, hey, my team's going to go and get somebody else to take my job, yeah, you hear it, and it's hard to tune it out. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is, okay, whatever. I'm going to have a job somewhere. If my job's here, I'm going to battle. I'm going to be ready to go, and I'm going to play. If they're going to bring somebody in, I got to compete. I've always welcomed that. Or if I go somewhere else, I'm going to be ready for that as well. So you have to understand there's an unknown in this business, but you have to control what you can control and not allow the other stuff to affect you until it you know, directly affects you.
Can you remember a year, and this might be kind of a hard question, but to remember when there were so many, it seemed like, proverbial moving pieces in terms of the quarterbacks. There's all these guys coming up for free agency. There's these incredible guys coming out in the draft. Yeah. It seems like more than half the teams around the league are looking at, is my guy on the roster right now, week one? I mean, it just seems like this is such an anomaly in terms of that position at this point in the year.
Yeah, I don't remember anything like this. And I think more than anything, it's the nature of the guys that we talked about that could be free, right? The Tom Brady's, you know, the Phillip Rivers, you know, at one moment it was Drew Brees in that mix. And so, I mean, you're talking about, you know,
Hall of Fame guys.
Three of the best guys that have ever played the position in our game that all of a sudden could be bouncing to different places. And that's when, you know, we talk about the Raiders. You know, you hear some people rumoring, oh, maybe one of these guys comes to the Raiders. And you got a really good quarterback in Derek Carr. But now we're looking at it and going, well, now we got to weigh Derek Carr against the greatest to ever play or another Hall of Fame guy. And now it starts to sway that where normally you got Derek Carr and you're going, oh, gosh, there's nobody that's going to be free that's going to compare or that's going to make us go, we're going to get rid of this young quarterback for someone else. And that's what's, I think, throwing this all into a, you know, a crazy mix where you just have these Hall of Fame type guys that become free and you really have to weigh now, is 2 years with this Hall of Fame guy going to outweigh what we might have for 5 or 6 years with this younger guy that's not quite as proven yet?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough question, a question that'll be answered the next 6, 8, 10 weeks, whatever it is. But the Silver and Black, obviously a new home in the desert back in Las Vegas, and an exciting time for this organization, for the franchise, a brand new stadium, a new beautiful stadium, a new facility in Henderson that's going to be state-of-the-art. For a player, what does having all of that kind of state-of-the-art, having everything there for you, what does that do to the psyche of a team just in terms of the professionalism and knowing, hey, we have no more excuses. Right. Everything is lined up for us to succeed.
Yeah, I think a great example for me was when I went to Arizona. And when I went to Arizona, they had never really won. They didn't really know what that meant. And, you know, for lack of a better term, they didn't really do the things that winning organizations do at that time in terms of giving your players – at least what they feel is every opportunity to be successful, from the amenities to the stadiums to building the fan base to, you know, to bringing in players, all of that stuff where somebody comes in and goes, oh, my gosh, we have no reason not to be. I have everything here I need to be successful. And over the course of time, I watched that change. And now they've got a state-of-the-art facility. They do a great job bringing in free agents. They're willing to spend money. They do a great job with their facilities. And you see how that has transformed the mindset of the players within the organization. And so I don't think you can undervalue that at all when you have a situation like that and when you're seeing your team say, hey, we are going to give you every opportunity to win. We are going to do everything we can to build this thing the right way. That goes a long way in players wanting to be there and players believing that when they actually show up for training camp, we've got a chance to be successful and to compete with anybody because our organization has given us that opportunity.
Last one with Kurt Warner. Kurt, obviously on the covers tonight at the NFL Network. And I'm curious, of all the guys, we've heard so much about these top-end guys, but is there someone under the radar a little bit that you're really excited to see go out there and do their thing?
I tell you what, the one guy that kind of intrigues me a little bit, on this stage is Jacob Eason. Is, you know, watched him out of Washington, and when I watched him on tape, I actually liked him a lot and, you know, had him way up on my board and you know, talked to some other guys that cover it and say, okay, why is this guy not as high as maybe I saw him on tape? And they said, well, there's some inconsistencies because usually when you watch these guys, you watch three or four games. You don't watch their entire season because too many guys. But the other thing that you hear from him is that he's just kind of freak athletically, you know, that he's that guy that could steal this combine based on his athleticism and his right arm and his arm talent. And so he's a guy that I'm just kind of interested to see how he does today. Can he generate some buzz with his athletic ability today that carries him up some draft boards? Or is where he's placed right now, five or six on a lot of people's board, where he stays due to inconsistencies and some of that stuff? Jordan Love's another guy, I think, playing at a smaller school. Really good 2018, not as good 2019, but – again, everybody talks about him with that athleticism. Another guy I'd like to see in person and see how he plays the game. And so that's the kind of big thing for me is you can watch him on tape. You want to see how it plays out in person and what they're like when they're compared to other guys that are playing right next to him.
All right, and we're excited, just as excited as you are, Kurt. So thank you very much, and we'll catch you on the network tonight.
All right.
And a big shout-out to Kurt Warner for giving us a couple minutes on a very busy afternoon for him in Indianapolis. A good man, a well-spoken man, a man who – taught us a lot, and that's really what it's all about. Before we get into our interview with MJ Acosta, Travi, I think it's about that time. Can you crack a cold one for me, please, brother? Yeah, buddy, that's what I like, because it is time to show a little bit of love to our Watford boys, who handled business. They defeated Liverpool 3-0 over the weekend. And for those of you who don't remember and don't know why are they talking about this, we spent a lot of time with the Watford guys when we were out in London, well, technically north of London, for that week early this year before we took on the Bears. A great collective of people. As I've made it very clear, I'm a Man City fan, always will be. But I got to root for my guys. I don't want them to get relegated. I want them to keep their jobs. I want things to be strong in Watford, UK. And they came and they just dominated Liverpool. So this beer, this nice, cool, crispy boy, to our friends in Watford. So round of applause for them. Well done, gentlemen. And hopefully we see you guys again soon, but in America. That would be preferred. Please come see us in America. We've done enough international travel for a while. Thank you for that sidebar, Travis. I appreciate it. I told Travi before the show that I was going to sidebar into some love for Watford, and he begrudgingly allowed it. I saw it in his eyes that he was, oh boy, here he goes again. But I thank you deeply, humbly, and sincerely. Yes, and as I mentioned, our second part of our two-part bonus-ode this week is a conversation with our good friend, MJ Acosta, and is what is now becoming a pretty fun combine tradition for us. We get some time, she breaks it down. We talk about all things with MJ from NFL Network. Life, love, football. Her week in Miami, MJ, obviously a Miami legend, and what it meant for her to be such an integral part of the coverage down there for the Super Bowl. And honestly, it's just a good time. To quote our good friend Matt Walks, it was a pretty good time. And that's really all you ask in life, is to have a good time having a conversation with someone you respect, you enjoy speaking to. It's that easy, baby. So, without any further ado, here it is, our conversation with MJ Acosta. This is the second year we've done it in a row, MJ Acosta.
Unprecedented.
Unprecedented. Making history here at the Combine. NFL Network's very own. But the last time we saw you was when we were in Miami.
Yes.
Part one of our off-season road trip tour.
Right.
And you, not to pump you up too much, you were blowing up Miami.
I had kind of a big week.
Yeah.
Got engaged.
Oh, there you go. Show the camera. There it is.
Yeah, it was kind of incredible, unbelievable. I'm still trying to process it all.
But it was like, in the terms of like Miami power rankings, it was like, like, I don't know, J-Lo, Shakira, Dwayne Wade, MJ.
You know, I'll take that amongst that top five, top four.
But you were everywhere. Like, all kidding aside, though, you were everywhere. Yeah, you turned the TV on. You were doing everything. You were dancing. You were singing. You were doing
literally
interviews in Spanish.
Yeah.
Everything.
It's my hometown, too. So I felt an added responsibility. I was like, oh, we're about to do the most. I'm going to show you guys where to go eat, where the best food is. I did a bunch of features leading up to the Super Bowl, just showing people around Miami. Because that week, I was like, please don't call me. I'm not going to have time. Like, unless you're my boss, don't text me. Which people did anyway, but it was fun. It was awesome.
And you get, so who, of all the people that you met, and I'm sure there were dozens, favorite, like, moment?
So that's hard because, like, that week was so crazy.
You got to pick one, though.
Okay.
You got to pick one.
I mean, unequivocally, was J-Lo and Shakira, without question. They walked in. I got a little emotional. They are goddesses among us. We are not worthy. Yes, J-Lo is as incredible and flawless in person as you think she is. Shakira could not have been nicer. She had like one drop of makeup on and was like perfection. It was just wild to be in the room with the two of them about to make history at the Super Bowl halftime show. And then to get to interview them in English and in Spanish to really reach that Latino audience was, I mean, I could never have dreamed up a more perfect scenario.
And you were kicking it with DJ Khaled too, right?
Khaled is awesome. So I've been actually listening to Khaled since I grew up in South Florida, since I was in high school when he was on a local radio station there called 99 Jams, before he was like this mega Grammy Award winning star.
Before he was Khaled.
So like it was really cool. I mean, no way he remembers like the interviews I did for him when I was in local news in Miami. But I reminded him. I was like, man, I remember we did like a giveaway at Target or something. And he's like, yeah, for sure. But he couldn't have been nicer. Dave Gruntman showed us all over Miami, all the bougie stuff that low-key, everyone who's like, oh, you're out on a boat. I was on a boat for 10 minutes. Like, behind the scenes, that's really what happened. We did the interview. MJ left. Like,
they didn't.
That's what happened. Now you guys know the real story.
There's probably, like, nowhere in Miami you couldn't have gone that week, though. Those doors would have opened.
It was pretty awesome. And, like, Miami people look out for Miami people. Similar to, like, Oakland. Like, oh, you're from the Bay. I got you. It's, like, that same vibe when you're in your hometown. And it was really special.
And so we go from Miami, beautiful, sunny, pristine Miami, and now it's snowing outside here.
I walked this morning because I'm a lunatic, and I was not prepared.
No,
I was not prepared at all. I mean, the Bay gets chilly, obviously,
but not like this. Not
like
this.
What am I doing with my life at this moment? What happened?
We were joking with these guys where it's like, oh, you know, it's kind of fun that you get to come here and you get some weather because I get to wear all the clothes that I'd never wear at home.
I had this like elaborate pea coat, and I was like, it's not enough. I need more layers. It's insane. It's insane.
It's funny though because we were talking. I was like, I don't have to worry about doing that much laundry because I haven't worn any stuff in 6 months.
Literally,
like
nothing.
Sweaters, they're all clean.
Thick sweaters, some scarves here, there, and like a jacket. Which is nice. We can't complain.
Yeah,
right?
It's not too bad. But I dry out so much here.
And here?
Yeah, here.
In California, I do too.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's man.
Everyone's like, you were glowing in Miami. The humidity makes your skin glow. Made my hair big, my skin glow. I was living my best life.
There's worse things than that.
Totally.
That's a
good
combo.
I'm like in Indy or like even in the Bay, I get real dry and I'm like parched all the time.
I know.
It's like first world problems, but
yes,
whatever.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
I got to ask you though, we're in Indy for the week and this is like such a week of like weirdness, right? Where
totally.
You get everything, you know, there's rumor this, rumor that, this guy's going at one, this guy's going at two. How much, let me put a percent on it. What do you think, what percent of what you hear here, is true?
Man, you know,
I have a number in mind and I'm curious if it matches up with yours.
I'm going to say like 25.
Oh, that's what I said. I was at 20. I was
25.
20,
because
25.
Like no one knows anything.
No.
Let's be real. We know nothing. We don't know what's going to go down. And if it's one thing we know about the draft, expect the unexpected. There are some things that you're like, okay, like Joe Burrow for sure going number one. I'd be shocked if he didn't. But that's on the board. It could happen too. And then we're like, well, there goes my fake draft.
Yep.
Like that's done. That's all out the window. But, you know, you have to take like an educated guess is all it is. A little bit more so than, like, I was taking tests in high school and would just, like, put, like, B all the way down the column.
Or you're like, oh, I have too many Bs. It's got to be an
B's.
A.
I got a couple
there
C's
it is.
In there.
Exactly.
But I think most of it is you take the context that you know, the analytics that we see, and in talking to our sources and all of that. And
like,
then
you put that in quotes, too.
Yeah. And then the rest is just kind of a crapshoot, and then we'll see what happens on that day. That's why the guys still get so nervous on that night, and they're crying and all of this stuff, because even they know anything could happen. But that's what makes it so special and so great.
And what's great about the combine too, in terms of just the shenanigans of all of it, is it's all the guys here, right? The guys that are about to start benching, the guys that are gonna run their 40s, all that stuff. But then it's also like the free agency teaser. Is this guy gonna be available?
Right.
Is this guy gonna get traded?
There's so many spinning plates here. I call Indy like the combine vortex, because we're
sort
of like, and you tell me if you feel this way too, we're in a bubble, right? So it's like,
yeah, this isn't real life.
No, it's
this
not,
is not
at
real.
All it's like this little bubble in Indianapolis, and we're all connected by these sky towers, and everyone is like rotating around talking to people and getting feelers. But it's exciting for sure. Everyone's like, how's the off season? I was like, that's not a thing.
Yeah, what off season
that doesn't exist.
But I like that though, the off season vortex, or the combine vortex,
the combine
because
vortex.
It is, it's
and
like,
also time elapse here in like a different
and it doesn't help that you're inside most of the day. Yeah. And so you're like, oh, I don't know what time it is. It could be 2 in the afternoon. It could be 9 at night.
And for us coming from the West Coast, I'm like, huh? What day is it?
And the first day we were here, we get in. And, you know, it takes a little bit to adjust.
Yes,
even though
totally.
It's just 3 hours, right?
Yeah.
And the emergency alarm went off in our hotel.
Of course.
At like 6:30. So we're like 3:30.
That's disrespectful.
It is. It was very rude. But I was very scared, too, because I was like, oh, man, what if there's something bad happened.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
And then they came back on, false alarm or all clear.
Then you can't go to sleep.
Yeah. And then I was like, well, I'm getting up in 15 minutes anyways.
Rude.
Very rude.
I can't do it.
Our silver and black are now new Las Vegas Raiders, as you sit in front
I'm
of our
still
new.
I'm getting adjusted. So what I've been doing is just saying Raiders.
Yeah.
I don't say this because I'm my brain is not there yet. It's
so
not caught up.
What we do, or what we've done in the past, is we play like this little game, like, oh, if someone on TV, on the network, ESPN, whoever it is, if they call Derek David Carr,
we
always tweet out, all right, so-and-so, at MJ, you got to put a dollar in the jar.
Got it.
And so now we're going to have to do it for Vegas, too.
I mean, you're going to be a millionaire. I love that you made it like put a dollar in the jar and not like a drinking game, because everyone would die.
Oh, well,
wouldn't like have it.
We were talking about a drinking game yesterday, only for in this combine vortex. You got to drink when you hear someone, doesn't matter if it's on TV, on the streets, when they mention hand size.
Oh, my God.
Take
Again,
a drink.
My liver
Take
would,
a drink.
Would cease functioning. No.
Oh, but it's so funny. Like, you hear the little buzzwords, right? It's like,
I was like
hand size, intangibles.
I don't think I've ever referenced hand size in my decade of reporting in the NFL.
Yeah.
Me personally. I'm like, you really want to know this? Okay.
People are crazy, though. People are crazy. If you think about it, like, the stuff that, like, these, like, diehard, like, NFL fans, like, I need it. I need to know. I need to know.
And that's fair. Like, whatever it is that you're into, that's fine. If it's hand size, cool.
Hey, whatever floats your boat. It's 2020.
We don't discriminate.
Exactly.
We don't judge.
No rules. No rules. We were talking yesterday with Mike Mayock, and he kind of was really consistent about the team, the needs of this team going forward.
Right.
But then one thing that we thought was really interesting, and I'm curious for your take, it seemed he went out of his way to talk about the dangers of picking a receiver in the first round. He's got all these numbers, right? He was telling us about Hunter Renfrow and where Hunter Renfrow ranks compared to other first-round receivers over the past 15 years. I was like, Mike, chill out. I get it. I get it, Mike. I get it.
Yeah.
But we were debating amongst ourselves, do you think he was doing that as a smoke screen? Yeah. Or
he's very elusive.
I know. What do you think?
Because
it seems so obvious, right? Where you look at this team, you're like, they need a stud wide receiver.
They need a real, true wide receiver.
At 12, at 19, wherever it is, you've got to get one.
And there's so much talent and so much depth at receiver in
this. It aligns 2 months.
So I could, but I also think like he knows that we know that that could be on the table. So I don't. I feel like he's pretty, for the most part, like a pretty straightforward guy, and like Mayock's not playing these games. You know what I mean? So I feel like he means it. But you just never know.
And it's weird, though, too, because, I mean, he's so convincing, too, where he's, like, so well-spoken. And you're like, yeah, maybe it doesn't make sense,
you're like,
Mike.
Holy cow.
Yeah, no, I like it. The numbers, the numbers back that up.
Yeah.
No.
But he's been on our side,
exactly.
too, so
he's
he
like,
knows what to do.
He's like, I got him. I got him right where I want them. I got them.
And, like, deciphering these codes and, like, all of these, like, hieroglyphics, however you want to kind of decode what like the GMs and the coaches are saying, that's also part of the fun of it. And I think they know that too. I mean, they have an impossible job to like go through all of this, figure it out, and then try to figure out how it's gonna fall at their pick or maybe trade, whatever it is. There's like 1700 intangibles, and then to also like throw us off course. And it's not us, it's other teams are trying to throw off course. I mean, like, they don't care about us.
Yeah, exactly. They could care less if MJ's like, oh, they're going to take this at 12 and Eddie thinks they're going to take this
at
19.
Cute. Thanks.
Cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. It is fun, though. It's like, I feel like Mike especially, and you have obviously more experience talking to GMs than we do because we cover the Raiders, so I'm not really talking to that many other GMs, but like, I feel like he's so good at like knowing the game. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, and he there's like the twinkle in his eyes, kind of like the nod, like wink, wink, like I know what I'm doing here.
I love that last year, he's like, it's laughable to me that other GMs think that they're going to trick me into like giving them information. Yeah. Like, I haven't been in this game for so long. And he's like, how about you tell me what you're planning to do? He would probably be better at like getting another GM to crack than the other way around, I think.
Yeah, Mike, I think he would be a great cop, too. You know what I mean? Like, he just sits down there. All right, so where were you? I don't know.
I don't know, Mike.
And then 2 minutes later, you're like, you're right, it was me. He's
coming, I agree.
You're, you know, admitting to things that you didn't do, but he has that, like, that just demeanor where he's, like, calm but very intense.
Mm-hmm. And he's got it all figured out. Yeah. He could probably pass a lie detector test, like, just.
Oh, I bet you he could.
No pulse, no, like.
That'd be a fun feature. Marcus, are you listening to this? We should do that. We're going to take Mike.
Down.
We're going to take double
That's
M.
That's awesome. Yes.
And see if he can pass a lie detector test. I like it.
Where would we acquire it? Will the police department?
Oh, I don't know. Perhaps our good friends, the Las Vegas' finest, perhaps they have a lie detector.
LVPD?
That they have a machine.
We can ask them.
Yeah. I think we should. Let's do it. Me and you, we're going to go link. We're gonna
put it in the books.
Yes. We're going to put it on paper. We're going to do it. I'm curious for you. Is anything going to change for you? Because you're still going to cover us, right?
Yeah, of course. Right. Of course. I mean, Raider Nation has been one of the favorite parts for me of my job. I think the fan base is just so unique, so different, so hardcore, so intense. And the more than any other, I think, fan base, it just has that attachment to this team. I mean, I said this earlier in the year. I can't imagine another franchise where the fans know that you're leaving. And they're still at the stadium, selling out the seats.
And showing out, too.
It's showing out. It's not like they're just sitting there. Costume. Yeah. I cannot picture another city doing that.
It's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
I'd find somebody for the
I know you will. I like that. So we're trying to figure out, like, logistically, right? Because we're all going through it for the first time.
Right.
So, like, do you fly in on a Saturday for the game?
Well,
you
know what I mean? I think, like, we're
because you're on the road a lot anyways. Yes.
It's so easy to get to Vegas from either San Francisco or Los Angeles or San Jose, whatever, that it's – I don't think much will change other than I'm just not going up 880.
Yep.
To
and
get
you know
to
what?
Because
of the traffic, it'll probably take you less time to get to 100%. Vegas.
100%. I was just thinking that. It'd probably be an easier commute on, like, game day or, like, to get to availability than it was on a regular, like, rush hour morning
in
the Bay.
Oh, my God. Just miserable.
That's a
one
valid
thing.
Point.
I mean, we're going to miss – I think we're at a good place where we're obviously going to miss the Bay. The Bay has been – especially for a lot of us. We've been there for so long. Mm-hmm. It's home for a lot of people here. Yeah. But one thing I will not miss – I will not miss that traffic.
Man.
I will not.
Or the rent. How much
I won't miss that rant either.
It's absurd.
It's sick. It makes me sick.
It's not okay. It should be outlawed.
But I don't know. It'll be fun. It's like I keep thinking. Like, I think the line of demarcation for us, like the one thing that we're still all looking for is like that week one or week two, whatever it is, that first game at the stadium.
Yeah.
And it'll be really cool because so many people put so many hours and so much hard work into getting this thing off the ground.
I can't wait to see the stadium.
You haven't been out there yet.
No.
Oh, MJ, we gotta get you out there.
I know. ASAP.
We got to get our guy Will Kiss on this. This seems like a Will Kiss kind of job.
It's like a my boss job, but yeah.
Oh yeah. or that too.
In tandem for sure.
But man, it's fun. We were there last week and it's crazy to see it just from what it was 18 months
nuts
ago.
And bolts,
to now, and it's like it's not done obviously, but it's so close. You can like see, you're like, this is going to be –
it's going to be crazy.
Pretty cool.
It's going to be and a lot of people have asked me, like, well, do you think, like, they'll get, like, season tickets? I was like, have you been to an away game where the Raiders are playing? Yes, of course. Like, and it's such a close proximity that I can't imagine.
To L.A. and Oakland.
Yes, and to Oakland and to now to Vegas. What is it, a four-hour drive, 4 or 5-hour drive?
I think so. What are you at, drive? Like, 4 hours to L.A., something like that?
Yeah, something like that. 3.5 hours.
Yeah. And then to Vegas, it's like equally as such. So it's like a no-brainer. I'm like, absolutely. Are you kidding me?
And this was a lot of fun. I love when you come and hang out.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You come like once a year. We got to make that more often.
We got to make it work.
I mean, we see you every week.
I know.
It seems silly that we don't do this more.
You know
often
what? Call to action.
Yes.
Especially, we'll have plenty to talk about.
Yes,
we always do. But
let's do it. We'll talk wedding next time. We'll get into it.
Oh my God, I need wedding tips.
I know. Oh, I might be the wrong guy for that.
That's a wife.
Keep your head above water. That's all I got. All right, MJ. Thanks for hanging out.
Thank you, guys.
We'll talk to you soon.
Always a pleasure.
And there it is, the bonusode in its totality. As I said, man, we've had some good bonusodes in the disgrace life of this podcast, but this was a good one. I felt good about it. How'd you feel, Travy? 1 to 10.
Very strong.
Strong to very strong?
Give it a 9, probably.
A 9?
Yeah.
And he's a tough critic. You are a very tough critic. So, the bonusode is done. Thank you for hanging out with us. Quick programming note. Since this was the bonusode, we will be back on Thursday at our usual time slot, Thursday afternoon. But we will be without KMM, a.k.a. Booby Cannon Cartwright Martin, as he has taken vacation, which I think is kind of funny because as our junior draft analyst in the midst of draft season, young Booby decided he was just going to go on vacay. He's going to cut out for 10 days. So God bless him, but he will not be joining us. In his stead, we will be calling in from the bullpen, an appropriate term, the big baseball guy himself, our social czar, Matt Walks, who he's got an appointment in the morning, doctor's appointment. Don't worry, he's in good health from my understanding, just a quick checkup. But he will be joining us. He will take Booby's place in victory formation. We will rock and roll. We are going to be very excited. We are going to talk all things combine, all things free agency. We're going to get into it. We're going to break it all down. So thank you for hanging out with us. We thank you deeply, humbly, and sincerely. And we will see you guys in just a few days on Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network.